السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
أبو عبد الرحمن، معذرة عن التأخر، نبدأ.
نعم يا شيخ، نبدأ.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، we are on سيرة فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The life of Fatima, the daughter of our messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We have read a lot about Fatima radiallahu anha. In the last class we read a hadith regarding her, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. That hadith occurs on page 124. The hadith in reference occurs on page 124 from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, when he reported from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam that afdalu nisa'i ahli al-jannah khadijatu wa fatima, afdalu nisa'i ahli al-jannah, the best of the women of the people of Al-Jannah, the best of the women of the people of Al-Jannah was and Khadijatu wa Fatima, Khadija and Fatima. We said here, Al-Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah in Siyar wa Alam al-Nubala, he has only mentioned Khadija and Fatima here. Inshallah, today we will come across the hadith in full, that includes Maryam and Asiya. Afdalu nisa'i ahli al-jannah Khadijatu wa Fatima wa Maryam wa Asiya. Those will be in the report from Al-Imam Ahmad and Al-Imam Ibn Hibban in his Sahih. The best of the women of the people of Al-Jannah was Khadija and Fatima bint Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, wa Maryam. We remember Maryam radiallahu anha, the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, and the daughter of Imran. Maryam was bint Imran, and Asiya was the daughter of Muzahim. The father of Asiya is called Muzahim. Asiya is Muzahim, the daughter of Muzahim. And Allah referred to her in the Quran as Imra'atu Fir'aun. I hope that this hadith is clear. Afdalu nisa'i ahli al-jannah Khadija wa Fatima wa Maryamu wa Asiya. In the next hadith that we read in the last class, it was about the khitbah of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu to the relatives of Juwayriya bint Abi Jahl, Al-Harith ibn Hisham. Ali ibn Abi Talib made a khitbah to Al-Harith ibn Hisham, asking to marry Juwayriya bint Abi Jahlin. فاستشار النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Thereafter, Ali ibn Abi Talib went to ask for advice from the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. And the Prophet asked Ali ibn Abi Talib, عن حسبها تسألني. This one occurs on page 125. The messenger asked Ali ibn Abi Talib, عن حسبها تسألني. Are you asking me about the lineage of Juwayriyah bintu Abi Jahal? We all know she was the daughter of Abu Jahal. Qala Ali, Ali ibn Abi Talib asks, he replied the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, قد أعلم ما حسبها. I have known what her lineage is. I know who her father was. ولكن أتأمرني بها. But the question is, أتأمرني بها. Would you encourage me to marry her? فقال لا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam rejected. He said, no, I would not encourage you to marry Juwayriyah bintu Abi Jahl. Why? Fatima tu mudghatun minni. That is because your wife and my daughter Fatima mudghatun minni. She is a muscle of flesh from me. She is a part and parcel of me. In other reports, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Fatima tu bad'atun minni. Fatima is a part of me. Faman aghdabaha aghdabani. So whoever makes Fatima sad, whoever makes Fatima angry, will definitely also make me angry, because I will be angry because Fatima was angry. Radiallahu anha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam rejected that Ali ibn Abi Talib should marry Juwayriyah bintu Abi Jahl, and he said that was because it was going to anger Fatima. Wala ahsabu illa annaha tahzan. And I do not think that if you marry that woman, annaha tahzan, that will bring huzn, that will bring ghammun shadidun, it will bring serious worry to Fatima, aw tajza'u, it will bring her al-jaza, it will bring her serious trouble. She will not be able to be patient. She will be sad. She will be worried over your marrying that woman. Qal, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali ibn Abi Talib said, radiyallahu anhu, after that statement from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, la ati shay'an takrahuhu, I would not do something that Fatima wouldn't like. I would not do something that Fatima would not like. We had explained these hadiths about Ali's marriage to a woman apart from Fatima, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not making it haram for Ali. He just did not like the woman, the particular woman that Ali was going to marry. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared that that may bring difficulty to Fatima. That makes us understand that when men marry more than one wife, there is always a big influence from the wife that they marry regarding the wife that is at home, or a big influence from the wife that is at home regarding the wife that is newly being married. There is always a big influence between both parties. The wife at home will influence the new wife. The new wife will also influence the wife that had been at home. So sometimes, if the new wife is known to be of a poor background regarding her religion, maybe from the backgrounds, maybe her relatives, maybe how she grew up, may become something that will influence her and then influence the marriage and the other woman in the marriage, then the relatives of that woman, the first woman, may appeal to the husband not to marry a woman like that together with their own daughter. We have discussed these matters in great details. The other hadith that we read, we are on page 125. Al-Imam al-Zahabi continued and said, وَقَدْ رَوَى التِّرْمِذِيُّ فِي جَامِعِهِ. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi has reported in his book Al-Jami', that is, As-Sunan al-Tirmidhi, as it is well known, min hadith Aisha annaha kila laha. He had reported from the hadith of our mother Aisha that kila laha, it was said to her, ayyu nasi kana ahabba ila rasulillah. She was asked, who amongst the people was most beloved ila rasulillah, to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Qalat, Aisha replied, Fatima tu. Fatima is the most beloved person to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min qibali nisa, from the aspects of women. Wa min ar-rijali zawjuha, as for from the aspects of the men, zawjuha, the most beloved person to the Prophet was the husband of Fatima. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَا عَلِمْتُ صَوَّامًا قَوَّامًا. Even though مَا عَلِمْتُ, what I know is that Ali ibn Abi Talib كَانَ صَوَّامًا قَوَّامًا. Ali ibn Abi Talib was usually fasting and he would regularly observe the Qiyam al-Layl. Al-Imam al-Zahabi went on to say, قلت, I say, Laysa isnaduhu bithak, the isnad, the chain of report of this hadith, that Aisha radiallahu anha was asked that who amongst the people, ayyun nasi kana ahabba ila rasulillah, who amongst the people was the most beloved to the Prophet, and then she said Fatima, this hadith, and then she said that Fatima from the females and her husband, وَمِنَ الرِّجَالِ زَوْجُهَا, this hadith. Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, لَيْسَ إِسْنَادُهُ بِذَاكْ, the chain of report that reports this hadith, لَيْسَ بِذَاكْ, it is not so strong. It is not something that you can trust and rely upon. The isnad has about three defects. The first defect in it, if you go back to Sunan al-Tirmidhi to look at the isnad of that hadith, it has Jumay'u ibn Umayr at-Tamimi at-Taymi. Jumay'u ibn Umayr at-Taymi was the person who reported this hadith from Aisha. Jumay'u ibn Umayr at-Taymi, he was the one who reported this hadith from Aisha. The scholars say كان رافضيا. Al-Imam ibn Hibban said he was a rafidi. He was known with very extreme views that the Shia hold. He was known with very extreme views of the Shia. And then Al-Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah would say regarding him that fihi nazar, that he is not a person that you can wholeheartedly report his hadith and rely on it. His reports, his person itself is so doubtful. So that hadith is not reliable, firstly because Jumay'u ibn Umayr at-Taymi was a person whose reports are not so reliable. The second person was Abu al-Jahhaf, Dawood ibn Abi Auf, also at-Taymi. Dawood ibn Abi Auf, he was also a Shi'i Ghali Fihi. He was also a from those amongst the Shia, Ghali Fihi, who was very, very extreme in Shi'ism. And you would see that this hadith tends to portray Fatima to be more beloved to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam than Aisha and Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, which is the hadith that is authentically reported from reliable narrators, that Amr ibn al-As asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, man ahabbu an-nasi ilayk, O Messenger of Allah, who is the most beloved of the people to you? And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari. It also occurs in Sahih Muslim. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in response to that question, Aisha. And then Amr ibn al-Ax asked again, radiyallahu an, wa min al-rijal, how about from amongst the men? And then the Prophet replied, alayhi salatu wasalam, abuha, her father. So this is what is correct. The most beloved person to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was Aisha amongst the women. And the most beloved person amongst the men to the Prophet was her father Abu Bakr. But you know, these people, Jumayr ibn Umayr and Abu al-Jahhaf, they were both from the Shia. Now they are reporting this hadith to present Fatima to be the most beloved female, and to present Ali ibn Abi Talib as the most beloved male to the Prophet. This is from the evidence of their extremisms in their views about Shi'ism. Ali Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah continues. It says, Wafil Jami', also in Al-Jami', referring to As-Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he said, Li Zayd ibn Arqam, from the hadith of Zayd ibn Arqam, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لهما ولابنيهما. It said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Fatima and Ali, قال لهما. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the two of them, ولابنيهما. And then he also said to the two of their children. This hadith says that from the report of Zayd ibn Arqam. I'm sure we remember Zayd ibn Arqam, that companion regarding whom Allah revealed some verses in Surah Al-Munafiqeen. In Al-Munafiqoon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that humu alladhina yakuluna la tunfiqu ala man inda rasulillahi hatta yanfaddu. This statement was made by Ra'sul Munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. He was insulting the companions when they were returning from Banu Mustaliq, that when they get to Medina, they are going to deal with the companions and they will expel the companions. La yukhrijan al-a'azz minha al-adhall. They think that they are the people of honor and repute. They would expel the Prophet's companions from Medina. So Zayd ibn Arqam heard that statement from Ibn Ubay ibn Salul, and then he went to report it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet heard it, he said they should call Abdullah ibn Ubay. When Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the head of Munafiqun, came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he denied it. You know, from the symbols of nifaq is that they lie a lot. Wallahu yashhadu inna al-munafiqeen lakathibun. Munafiqun lie a lot. So Ibn Ubay ibn Salul said he did not say what Zayd ibn Arqam said. Zayd said, I started to feel sad because I have not lied to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it did not take long before Allah revealed that verse, humu alladhina yakuluna la in raja'na ila yakuluna la in raja'na ila al-madinati. Allah now told us that they were actually saying that. They actually said what Zayd reported that they said. I hope we have not forgotten that companion. Allah confirmed him to be honest, right, with a verse of the Quran. His name was Zayd ibn Arqam. Is the one who is mentioned to report this hadith here on page 125. Anna Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam, qala lahuma wa li ibnayhima, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Fatima عند علي بن أبي طالب: أنا سلم لمن سالمتم، أنا سلم لمن سالمتم، I am at peace absolutely لمن سالمتم with whomever you people are at peace with. The Prophet said that to Fatima رضي الله عنها، علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه ولابنيهما and who حسن and حسين، أنا سلم، I am absolutely peaceful. I am absolutely compassionate. لمن سالمتم، with whomever you make peace with. If you show somebody kindness, I am there. I will show that person kindness too, because I love what you love. From the simple symbols of love is that we love what people we love love. If you love somebody for the sake of Allah, and that person wouldn't also love except for the sake of Allah, you end up loving someone that your friend that you love loves. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ana silmun liman salamtum." I am absolutely at peace. I am absolutely going to be kind. Whoever you love, whoever you find peace with, will find peace with me. وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَارَبْتُمْ. And I'm going to be at war with whomever you be at war with. Because Ali ibn Abi Talib and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhum, they would not be at war with anybody except that the person is upon a sin. So when they are at war with the person who is upon a sin, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam will be at war with that person, except they err in their judgments, except maybe Ali or Fatima, except they err in their judgment. And of course, if they erred in a judgment and they are at war with that person because of an error in a judgment, they will be rewarded for their ijtihad, just like Fatima radiallahu anha was not pleased with Abu Bakr al-Siddiq because Abu Bakr al-Siddiq said to her that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a messenger of Allah, of course well known, وَلَا يُؤْرَثُ, and he would not be inherited, because whatever he left, like the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, was what? Sadaqah. So this statement was heavy with Fatima. And then many other companions too reported it, radiallahu anhu. In fact, from those who reported it was Umar, was Uthman. And then if you go to the books of hadith, you'll also find the reports of Abbas and Ali. They also took the report and started to report it. Which you don't forget also, that from those who were also entitled to inheritance from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, if he were to be inherited, was the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Aisha. But here we are. He said no. What the Prophet said to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that he was a Nabi, and the Anbiya, they are not inherited. Whatever they left was sadaqah for the entirety of the Ummah. So aside for clear-cut cases like this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be displeased with whomever that Ali and Fatima would be displeased with. So he said alayhi salatu wasalam, أَنَا سِلْمٌ لِمَنْ سَلَمْتُمْ وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَارَبِتُمْ. I am absolutely... This occurs on page 125. I am absolutely at peace with whomever you are at peace with. وَحَرْبٌ لِمَنْ حَارَبْتُمْ. And I am at war. I am displeased with whomever you all are displeased with. This is from the aspects of الْوَلَاءُ وَالْبَرَاءُ. وَالْبَرَاءُ, the Muslim being together upon obedience to Allah, loving those who love Allah and His Messenger and His Deen, and distancing themselves from those who disobey Allah and His Messenger and the dictates of the Deen. I hope that that is clear. Al Imam al-Dhahabi went on to say, Rahimahullah, wa kana laha min al-banat, and Fatima radiyallahu anha had some daughters, like Umm Kulthum. So Fatima had a child who was called what? Umm Kulthum, Zawjatu Umar ibn al-Khattab, the daughter, the wife of Umar. Zawjatu Umar ibn al-Khattab, the wife of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anha. We remember the story that Umar ibn al-Khattab had proposed to marry Umm Kulthum, the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Umar ibn al-Khattab had proposed to marry Umm Kulthum, the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. We remember that that Umm Kulthum, the daughter of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, was born after the death of Abu Bakr. When Abu Bakr al-Siddiq died, his wife gave birth to that girl called Umm Kulthum. She grew up in the house of Aisha. When she was about 8 or 9 years old, Umar ibn al-Khattab proposed to marry her. But the girl said to Aisha that Umar was tough. Radiallahu anhu. You know who Umar was. Radiallahu anhu. And that was about 6 to 7 years in the Khilafa of Umar. When Ali had that, he also had a daughter from Fatima called Umm Kulthum. Ali ibn Abi Talib offered his own Umm Kulthum to Umar ibn al-Khattab as a replacement for the Umm Kulthum of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, who had declined to marry Umar ibn al-Khattab. So that is the daughter of Fatima. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi said here that وَكَانَ لَهَا مِنَ الْبَنَاتِ, Fatima had daughters, like Umm Kulthum, Zawjatu Umar ibn al-Khattab, like Umm Kulthum, the daughter of the wife of Umar ibn al-Khattab, was Zainab, Zawjatu Abdullah ibn Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, and Zainab. So Fatima also had another daughter whose name was Zainab. This Zainab, she was the wife of Abdullah ibn Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. You know Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the elder brother of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He had died during the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, on the same day with Ibn Rawaha. I hope we remember that story. Ibn Rawaha and Ja'far passed away, and then they handed over the flag of war to who? Zayd ibn al-Harith. Is that the story? Who returned in that battle? So that's Ja'far. He had a son called Abdullah. It was Abdullah ibn al-Ja'far who got married to Zainab, the daughter of Fatima, radiyallahu anhum. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi went on to say, reporting from Al-A'mash this time, all these reports are about matters regarding who? Fatima, issues, matters in the books of hadith, in the books of history, regarding Fatima, radiyallahu anha. So we heard now that Fatima had two daughters, Umm Kulthum and who? Zainab. Umm Kulthum and Zainab. Umm Kulthum was married to who? Umar. Zainab was married to who? Abdullah ibn Ja'far. Ibn Abi Talib. Continuing, Al-Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he said, Al-A'mashu an Amri ibn Murrah an Abi al-Bakhtari qal. Al-A'mash, we know him. Al-Imam Sulaiman ibn Mihran, and Amr ibn Murrah. He was reporting from Amr ibn Murrah, an Abi al-Bakhtari, who is reporting from Abu al-Bakhtari, Sa'id ibn Fayruz, Abu al-Bakhtari, Sa'id ibn Fayruz, At-Ta'i. He said, Qala Ali li ummihi. Abu al-Bakhtari said that Ali ibn Abi Talib told his own mother, Ikfi Fatimata al-Khidmata kharijan. Ikfi Fatimata al-Khidmata kharija. My mother, Ikfi Fatimata al-Khidmata kharija. Suffice, help Fatima about the khidma, about the walk at home, kharija, outside the house. Help me, suffice Fatima. Let Fatima be relieved by you. You be the relief for Fatima regarding the jobs, kharija, outside the house. وَتَكْفِيكِ هِيَ الْعَمَلَ فِي الْبَيْتِ. Fatima will suffice for you regarding the jobs within the house. That implies that the mother of Ali ibn Abi Talib was living with Fatima and Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the work in the house, you know, is the work of women. So the organization that the head of the home was doing is that mommy should work outside, and my wife Fatima, she will handle the work inside the house. Of course, because the older a woman is, the lesser the stringence about her staying inside the house. When a woman becomes older, her restriction within the house is relaxed. She goes out more. She can be made to go out of the house more. Why? Because she's older. But when the woman is younger, the restrictions regarding her staying within the house are stronger. So Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhu, qala li ummihi, ikfi Fatimata al-khidmata kharija. Suffice Fatima regarding the khidma kharija, outside the house. وَتَكْفِيكِ هِيَ الْعَمَلَ فِي الْبَيْتِ. هِيَ تَكْفِيكِ الْعَمَلَ فِي الْبَيْتِ. Fatima will suffice you regarding the works inside the house. وَالْعَجْنَ. She'll be preparing the flour for baking. Fatima will do that job. وَالْخُبْز. She'll also prepare the bread. She will also grind the things that we need to grind at home, maybe the grains. She will grind the grains, she will make a tahna. She will grind the grains, she will make al-khubz, she will make the bread, wal-ajn. She will also prepare the flour. She will do all that. She will clean the house, she will prepare, she will grind the grains, she will. So Fatima was also actually going to do the job. And if you look at some of this job, they look stronger than the job outside. Perhaps the job outside is perhaps sweep or do a few things. But inside, these are the jobs of Fatima. Sayyidatun Nisa'il Alamin. Look at how she was working in the house of her husband. Her husband said she will do the jobs inside the house. Wal-ajn. Together with preparing the flour, wal khubz, and bread, wal tahna, and grinding. You need to grind the grains. Fatima will do that job, my mother. As for you, you can do the simpler jobs outside the home. Sheikh Shu'aib al-Arnaut, who did the checking and the editing of this copy of Sir Alamin Nubala, he said regarding this author of Ali, that رجاله ثقات, that the reporters who have reported them, they are reliable, meaning that it's an author that to a very large extent, until we find evidences to declare it weak, it is something that we can rely upon, meaning that yes, Fatima was noble. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved her. Ali ibn Abi Talib loved her. She is from the best of the women in the world, radiyallahu anha. Yet she will cook for her husband. She will make the bread for her husband. She will prepare the flour for the house. She was walking right inside the house. This contradicts what some of the women think they enjoy. They think it is part of luxury for the husband if they walk in the house. The daughter of the best human being in the world, Fatima, was walking in the house. She was cooking for the family. She was grinding grains. She was preparing bread. She was preparing flour. She has other jobs inside the house. We remember that she would work so much so that she would become so tired and exhausted in the night. By the next morning, she stands up for work again. Fatima bintu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, oh woman, don't be proud. You can't be better than Fatima. Go and note this. There is no better than Fatima in the world today. Radiallahu anha. Yet she was walking in the house of her husband. Here ta'jan. She will make al-ajun. She will make al-khubz. She will make a pan. She will grind. She will make bread. She will prepare the flour. She will do other jobs at home. In fact, Ali ibn Abi Talib pitied her once and told her to go and obtain a slave from her father, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so as to reduce that labor. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fatima radiallahu anha, Ali ibn Abi Talib, her husband, had sent her to tell her father to get a slave. Like most women, we request their husband to get a cook, to get a cleaner. Ali ibn Abi Talib pitied the condition of his beloved wife, the best woman in the world, Sayyida to Nisa'il Alami, Fatima to bintu Rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite that, she was working so assiduously inside the house. Ali ibn Abi Talib once suggested that go and beg your father to give you a slave to reduce the burdens of work. And Fatima actually did. She came to her father to ask for a slave to reduce the burdens of work. Instead of providing her a slave, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam provided her dua she will make in the night, so that when she stands up in the next morning, she is able to walk again. Radiallahu anha. He told her to make Subhanallah 33, Alhamdulillah 33, Allahu Akbar 33. She will wake up stronger by the next morning. I remember some women suggested to their husbands to get them a cook so that it will relieve the hardship they get from cooking. These women cook once in 4 days, once in 4 days, once in 4 days, but they become worn out because of the large number of, you know, mouths that they will serve with the meal, apart from other works for that day. So as for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as for Fatima, she was doing that job every day, radiallahu anha. Yet instead of providing her a slave, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her dua that will make her become strong again the following day to be able to do that job. So, oh sister, don't be proud. Oh sister, don't be haughty. Oh sister, don't raise your noses to your husband, because you can never be better than Fatima. Fatima is better than you. Her father is better than you. Her husband is better than you. She has lived in a time better than you. She will be in the Jannah in a status better than you. Yet, that was how she was walking in the house of her husband. Radiallahu anha. And the last line of page 125, Al-Imam al-Zahabi reported another narration from Abdurrahman ibn Abi Nu'min. عبد الرحمن ابن أبي نعمين أبو الحكم البجلي. عبد الرحمن ابن أبي نعمين أبو الحكم البجلي, who was reporting from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم that Fatima سيدة نساء أهل الجنة إلا ما كان من مريم بنت عمران. فاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة إلا ما كان من مريم بنت عمران. In this hadith, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Fatima is the head of the women of Al-Jannah. The head of the women of Al-Jannah will be Fatima. Illa ma kana min Maryama bint Imran. Except what we will be regarding Maryam bint Imran. What we know regarding that is the same thing the Prophet had told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the heads of the women of Al-Jannah are four, not one. So when he mentioned Fatima, he is clarifying that yes, there are also other women who will be the heads of the women of the people of Al-Jannah, like Khadija radiallahu anha, like Maryam bint Imran, like Asiya bint Muzahim radiallahu anhum. All of these will be the heads of the women of Al-Jannah. I think that Al-Imam al-Zahabi has followed up with this report because he was just talking about how very hardly Fatima was working in the house. She was working, she was preparing the flour, she was making the bread, she was grinding the grains and doing all the works inside the house to the extent that her hand became very tough because of a lot of work. Yet her father said she is saying, to Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, you woman today, you have not been granted, you have not been assured of Al Jannah, and you already pressed towards your husband. May Allah forgive all of us. This report occurs in the Mustadrak of Al Imam Hakim. Al Imam Hakim sahahahu wa wafakahu Al Imam Al Zahabi. That the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fatima to Sayyida to Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. إلا ما كان من مريم بنت عمران. The next narration that Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentions on page 126 was from Ali ibn Hashim ibn al-Barid. Ali ibn Hashim ibn Barid. That is Abu al-Hasan al-Barid. He was reporting from Kathir al-Nawa'u. That is Kathir ibn Ismail al-Nawa'u. This Kathir ibn Ismail was a Shi'i. Min ajlad al-Shi'a. Kathir ibn Ismail al-Nawa', who reported this hadith, was known from amongst the extremist Shi'a. So extreme in his views about his partisanship regarding Ali ibn Abi Talib. Of course, it was a partisanship that came up with some issues of Aqidah that contradicts the belief of the Aqidah of the people of the Sunnah. So they had a lot of beliefs that are strange and that go off the lines of Sunnah. One of them was Kathir ibn Ismail al-Nawa. He said, and Imran ibn Hussein, that he was reporting from Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The point here is that this hadith is not sahih. This isnad is not sahih. It has Kathiru al-Nawa in it. Al-Imam al-Zahabi, inshallah, will also speak about the non-authenticity of this report. Ali ibn Hashim ibn al-Barid reported from Kathir al-Nawa, who said he was reporting from Imran ibn Hussein, that anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in the report it said that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam aada Fatima wa hiya marida. The Prophet visited Fatima while she was ill. فَقَالَ لَهَا. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام now said to Fatima, but this is not his week, don't forget. كَيْفَ تَجِدِينَكِ. How are you? How do you find yourself? How do you feel today? قَالَتْ. It was said that Fatima said, إِنِّي وَجَعَتُن. I am feeling some pains. I'm really, really in pains. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَزِيدُنِي مَالِي طَعَامٌ أَكُلُهُ. يَزِيدُنِي مَالِي. It will increase what is paining me and bringing worry to me. What is that? طَعَامٌ أَكُلُهُ. Food that I would eat. Meaning that if I ate food, it increases my pain. This one happens sometimes when we fall ill. When we eat food, it will be as if the food will increase our pains. We also have learned in a number of ahadith in Al-Adab al-Mufrad that it was not wrong if we are in pains and we are asked, how are you? And then we can say, we are in pains. We cited the hadith of the Prophet himself, alayhi salatu salam. We cited the narration of Aisha when Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and Bilal were in pains. We cited the hadith of Asma bint Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, who was in pain, and she was visited by her son, Abdullah ibn Zubayr. I hope we remember those narrations in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. So it's not wrong in our religion that if we are sick and then people visit us, they ask us, كَيْفَ تَجِدِينَكِ. And then we say, so and so is happening to me. I am in pain. أَنَا وَجَعٌ أَوْ أَنَا وَجَعَتٌ. As in this case, he even said, إِنَّهُ لَيَزِيدُنِي مَالِي. What is wrong with me would be increased by what? طَعَامٌ أَكُلُهُ. By food that I would consume. Call this hadith. Don't forget, we have said that it is a weak report because of Kathir and Nawa. It said that the Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Bunayya, O my daughter, Ama tarbain an takuni sayyidata nisa'il alam. Are you not pleased that you are sayyidata Nisa'il Alamin, the head of the women of the entirety of the world? Are you not pleased? Are you not pleased with that? The lesson here, and we have read that from other authentic ahadith, that when we visit people who are ill, we tell them things that will gladden them. When we visit people who are ill, we tell them things that will gladden them, because illness itself brings them worry. So to remove them from that condition, we have to tell them things that please them, things that please them, not a lie, but a thing of truth that will bring joy to them. So the Prophet ﷺ said to Fatima, as is in this report, Ama tarbaina an takuni sayyidata nisa'il alamin. Are you not pleased that you are the leader of the women of the worlds? قالت, she said, فأين مريم? How about مريم? قال, the Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, تلك سيدة نساء عالمها. That is the head of the women in her own time. وأنت سيدة نساء عالمك. And as for you, you are the head of the women in the world in your time. أما والله. Listen, I swear by Allah. لقد زوجتك سيدا في الدنيا والآخرة. لقد زوجتك سيدا في الدنيا والآخرة. I have married you to someone who is a head. I have married you to someone who is a leader, of course, upon righteousness. في الدنيا والآخرة. Ali ibn Abi Talib is a head. Is a righteous person. Is a leader in this world and in the Akhirah. I hope that this narration is clear in its meaning. Most of the contents are right. Most of the things you find in this hadith, you would find other hadith that tells us that they are right. That Fatima, she she is Sayyidatu Nisa' al-Alamin. Likewise, Maryam during her time, likewise, Asiya and so on. And that Ali ibn Abi Talib, of course, was from the leaders and from the heads of the people of Islam. He is the fourth Khalifa after Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and Umar and Uthman. And then we have Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he was a righteous man that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Fatima to. Regarding this narration, Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, Rawahu Abu al-Abbas al-Sarraj. Abu al-Abbas al-Sarraj reported it. An Muhammadin ibn al-Sabbah. An Ali reported it from Muhammad ibn al-Sabbah. An Ali. Wa kathiru wahin. As for kathiru al-Nawwa, it is wahin. His reports are strange. His reports are funny, unreliable. وَسَقَطَ مَنْ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ إِمْرَانِ. And the narrator between Nawwar, كثير النَّوَّار, and Imran ibn Hussein, سَقَطَ, is not available, meaning that the report is even of a broken chain between Kathiru and Nawwar, and who? Imran ibn Hussein, despite the fact that Kathiru himself is Wahil Hadith, a person whose reports are funny and unreliable. I think it will suffice to stop here regarding these reports about Fatima radiallahu anha that we have chosen to study from Siyaru Alam al-Nubala by Al-Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah. I think that we may have a few questions to respond to today, inshallah, about Abdul Rahman.
Salawatullahi alaykum, Ya Shaykh Ali.
Ameen, ameen, wa iyaakum.
First question here is, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If a female finishes her menstrual period before the sun sets, does it compulsory on her to pray both Salah to Dhuhr and Asr?
Naam, before sunset, you are still in Waqt al-Darura for Dhuhr. Naam, before sunset, Abu Abdurrahman, are you with me? Before sunset, we are still in Waqt al-Darura for those prayers, Dhuhr and Asr. So she will still make her Dhuhr and her Salatul Asr because we are still within the time of Darura. The kinds of Darura such as menstruation or illness or journey, traveling, you are still in work to Darura before Ghurub al-Shams for Salatul Dhuhr and for Salatul Asr. I hope that it is clear.
No, yes, Sheikh.
Ameen.
Another question reads, please, is there a ritual bath after one had a miscarriage?
If the miscarriage is beyond 6 months and there is blood connected to it, yes, she will have a ghusl. If the miscarriage is beyond 6 months and there is blood connected to it, she will have ghusl. And that ghusl will come when the blood stops. Why are we saying that? Because it is connected to delivery. If it is miscarriage from after 6 months, it is like she is delivering, like nifas, from after 6 months. But if it is before 6 months, it is an illness. If it is before 6 months, it is illness because nifas is the blood connected to delivery. The earliest time in our religion somebody can deliver is 6 months. So if the child comes out from after 6 months, it is like she is delivering the baby. If blood is connected to it, that blood will be handled like the blood of nifas. For anything before that time, it is sickness. It is talking about ghusl. It is not talking about abortion, don't forget. And it is talking about the child coming out of the womb. If the child comes out of the womb from after 6 months and it comes with blood, that blood will be treated like nifas. She will stop salat, and then she will stop intercourse, and then she will wait until the blood stops, and then she will make ghusl, and then she will start her salat again. But if it comes before that, it is illness, it is sickness. Allahu a'lam.
جزاكم الله خيرا يا شيخ.
آمين وإياك.
Another question says, please sir, what is the rulings on brownish drops that normally comes after menstrual blood? Are we to consider it as part of menstruation blood? May Allah Almighty continue to preserve you and your family upon faith.
آمين وإياكم. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. The brownish discharges when the blood stops still shows that menstruation has not ended. Don't start salat at that time. Don't start intercourse at that time. Don't make tawaf at that time. Wait until you see al-qassat al-bayda, the white discharge. It is the white discharge that shows that the woman who is menstruating has ended her menstruation. Women during the time of Aisha, they used to get these white, these brownish discharges. They will get cottons. They will clean it with the brown discharge and take it to Aisha. She will say to them, don't bother yourselves. Wait until you see the white discharge. So what's important to know that menstruation has ended is the white discharge, not the brown discharge. When it is still brown, menstruation has not ended. I hope that it is clear about the problem.
Naam, jazakumullah khairan ya Sheikh Ali.
Ameen.
Another question says, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Please, can I breastfeed my child for more than 2 years?
Yes, if the breast milk is still flowing and the child is still willing, there is nothing that stops you from breastfeeding beyond 2 years. As long as you still have a flow and the child is still interested in it, there is no blame, inshallah. Can we have the last question today?
Naam, ya Sheikh. It says, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Sheikh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ameen.
May Allah continue to preserve you upon goodness.
Ameen wa iyakum.
Please, what is the ruling on a menstruating woman holding or reciting Quran?
There is no blame on her. A woman who is menstruating can recite the Quran, because reciting the Quran is like making adhkar. Nothing stops us from making adhkars at all times, one of which is reciting the Quran. So she can recite the Quran. She can also hold the Quran. There are some reports that prevents a woman from touching the Quran when she is menstruating. As long as the blood of menstruation does not touch the mushaf, there is no blame, inshallah. Most of those reports, if not all of them, they have been mentioned to be weak by the scholars of hadith. We can go to Tamamul Minna, Fit Alik ala Fitri Sunnah by Al Imam Al Albani, rahimahullah. He mentioned that to us regarding those ahadith upon which the scholars have based their ruling that a woman who is menstruating should not touch the Quran. Those ahadith are weak. The Muslim does not become impure. If the impurity, the menstrual blood, is on the hands, you can wash it off, wash the impurity off. But as for touching the Quran, it is lawful. Nothing prevents them. They can touch the Quran. They can read the Quran. They can sit inside the masjid. Inshallah, as long as the impurity does not drop in the masjid, or that as long as the impurity is not on their hands, it is lawful for them to sit in the masjid and touch the Quran. There's a question there, and I like to stop with it. That is it true or something that Fatima used to be referred to as Al-Batul? Did you see that question about Rahman?
Naam, ya Sheikh, and I said, please, sir, can we nickname someone bearing Fatima Al-Batula?
It is Al-Batul. Summiyat Al-Batul. لأنها منقطعة القريبة. Fatima used to be called Al-Batul. Fatima Al-Batul. Yes, you can nickname somebody Al-Batul. She was called Batul. The meaning of Batul is because Fatima was cut off from relatives. She did not have a mother. She lived without sisters. Her sisters died. Her brothers died. So she was like someone who was alone. No sisters, no brothers, no mother. That was why she was called Al-Batul, as if all her relatives have been cut off from her. No brother, no sister, no mother. So she was called Al-Batul. So it's a nickname connected to Fatima. If you call someone who is Fatima by that name, you are just bringing to her one of the nicknames of Fatima. There is no blame, inshallah.
No, jazakallah khairan, Sheikh.
I mean, can we call it a day today?
No, ya Sheikh, but there is a question here that is related to class.
Okay, bismillah.
Said, ma mana illa ma kana min Maryam ibn bint Imran.
Ma mana illa ma kana min Maryam bint Imran. Al-jumlatu muta'alliqatun bima qablaha. This expression is connected to what was before it. What the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said before saying illa ma kana min Maryam bint Imran is that Fatima to Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahli al-Jannah. Fatima is the head of the women of Al-Jannah. Fatima is the head, Fatima to Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahli al-Jannah. She's the head of the women of the people of Al-Jannah. Illa ma kana min Maryam, except what is regarding Fatima, regarding Maryam, except what we know of Maryam. What is it that we know of Maryam? That is that annaha aidan min nisa'i min sayyidati nisa'i ahli jannah. What we also know of Maryam is that yes, she's also from the heads of the women of the people of al-jannah, meaning that the headship of the women of the people of al-jannah is not restricted to Fatima alone. The meaning is that to be the head of the women of the people of al-jannah is not for Fatima alone. Fatima is the head of the people of al-jannah, just like we know of Maryam too. So she's not alone in that. Another person who shares in that was who? Maryam. And we know it's not just Fatima and Maryam. It was Fatima, her mother Khadija, Maryam, and who? Asiya. I hope that that is clear now. Ameen, wa iyyakum. Can we call it a day today?
Naam, ya Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.